You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Be an Avenger.
First man to walk on the moon. That'd be something.
We've chosen a job so difficult, requiring so many technological developments. We're gonna have to start from scratch. After we master these tasks, do we consider trying to land on the moon?
Neil, if his flight is successful, you'll go down in history. What kind of thoughts do you have about that?
We're planning on the flight being successful.
Damn, that is a big mother.
It'll go up like a half kiloton A-bomb if it blows.
The vehicle's not safe.
We need to fail down here so we don't fail up there.
This isn't just another trip, Neil. You're not just going to work.
Do you think you're coming back?
There are risks, but we have every intention of coming back.
Somebody got a Swiss Army knife?
A Swiss Army knife? Are you kidding me?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I am your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is Gina Versa.
Hey, how you doing? Good to be back here again.
Yeah, it's good to be back for even me because we have not done a show for the Youth Critic for about, I think this will be the third week we haven't done anything for the show.
On a hiatus.
Yeah, I had to go on a hiatus. So to give everyone a quick update, I just have a lot of personal stuff happening right now, going on in my life, that's kind of life-changing. I won't go into specific details, but for those wondering, Bear Gator is fine. We just did our first, like, practice pre-shoot day for Bear Gator, and we got a good third of the movie in the can already, and it's coming along very well.
Nice.
So if anyone was worried about that, that's fine. As far as the podcast is concerned, I am getting much more busy with stuff that's not Bear Gator related. Mm-hmm. So everyone, just please bear with me. I've had some ideas of doing the show, like just do like the show like twice a month, just do a compilation. But I think, you know, that's not really fair to the show, especially since we've, you know, did this format for so long. So what we're going to do is we're going to just, you know, try and get through maybe two of these, and then we have a retrospective coming out later this weekend. So please check that out. I'll talk about that more at the end of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But please, everybody, just, you know, bear with me. We're getting through. And even today we have a surprise. We, you know, Gene and I are reviewing a movie that hasn't even come out yet. So, yep. Not to say that we're skipping over a bunch of movies like Venom or A Star Is Born. We'll get to Venom eventually. We'll get to A Star Is Born eventually. I want to talk about those movies. I have seen A Star Is Born as of this podcast recording, but I've not seen Venom. So we'll get to those. But for now, we're here to talk about Damien Chazelle's third outing as a director. Or I think he did, maybe this is his fourth, but this is like his third hit in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about First Man.
Yes, where no podcaster has gone before.
Mm-hmm. So starting with Eugene. We won't go into too much spoilers So this will be a little bit short of an episode. But what did you think about...
Spoiler, they get to the moon.
What?
I said they get to the moon. They get to the moon, spoiler.
Spoilers, but I mean, there's still like a lot of stuff that happens in between.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That I feel like maybe we should keep close to the vest.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
So, Gene, what were your thoughts on First Man?
I am a pretty big space enthusiast. I have a lot of interest in a lot of space films, I guess. That's a genre. I don't know if that's like a name to it. 2001 is my favorite film, and I've always been fascinated by
Would we call this genre the space exploration genre?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a good title for it. Like films like Interstellar. Was the one that came out last year? Something that came out recently. Oh well. I just always been fascinated. My aunt works at GPL. Receptionist and all that, so it's cool, you know. And I got a visit when I was younger, but I was very much looking forward to First Man. Damien Chazelle is on such a streak right now, and I would expect nothing else from him. And this was probably one of the films I was anticipating, and just going into it, I didn't expect it to be as somber as it did. That's a good thing. It had like a lot of depth to it, to the characters, which I was very surprised by.
Yeah. So picking up on that note, it's even more somber than Whiplash, because I mean Whiplash is still energetic. It's still lifelike. Even though it's a very mean-spirited movie.
Mm-hmm.
First Man opens in a very somber way in that, for those who don't know, the movie opens with Neil Armstrong, or Ryan Gosling's character, dealing with the death of his daughter, who died of cancer.
Right.
And the whole movie is basically about how Neil Armstrong is essentially doing this one mission that is separating himself from family, that's separating himself, you know, from the trauma of it all. So
dealing with his grief
through work.
Yeah, through work, through his job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it was oddly a could have been some sort of like a cathartic experience for him.
Yeah,
the way the movie presents presents that.
Mm-hmm. And it's emotional. There's, you know, a lot more going on, and of course there's, you know, you get to see all of the, you know, the trials and experiences that, you know, that Neil Armstrong goes through as he becomes, you know, becomes a part of the Apollo 11 mission. And that's essentially what the film is about, is his journey, his point of view of the experience of getting to the point where he is the guy that that he's the first man on the moon. Essentially, the title character. So,
excuse me.
So, and for me, I found this like very well somber, very well directed, and now that we've had three, I think there is a fourth movie from Damien Chazelle. I just haven't seen it.
It's Madeline in the Park.
Okay,
that's it. I've never seen it. Maybe I'll see it one day. It's a guy and Madeline on a park bench.
Okay. I will say this about Whiplash, La La Land, and First Man is that we have three very distinct films from Damien Chazelle, and he always surprises us. Like, you know, like when I don't think, like, I think when I first heard of First Man or that, you know, Damien Chazelle is going to do a biopic, of course, there was all these jokes and memes about, oh, is Neil Armstrong going to get into a conversation where he compares space traveling to jazz, or and it feels like Damien Chazelle challenged himself even further to make a movie that was about, that was, you know, totally different from any of his work, and also felt personal, and also felt like it meant something, and also felt like there was something deeper and meaning in what he was trying to do, because you can compare filmmaking to, you know, what Neil is doing. Like, he's trying to find,
to engineering, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I really like First Man. It's right now in a weird, like it's all, like all of these movies are A rating, but First Man is like my least favorite. Not for any particular reason. It's just when I walked out of Whiplash and First Man, like, especially on multiple viewings, like, I found more nuance, and I found more of the gut punch that, you know, Chazelle was going for in both movies. Mm-hmm. In First Man, there is like two or three different gut punches in first, at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. I will not spoil what they are.
But
the movie has those two, maybe three good gut punches of the movie, and just rocks you to your core. And but it didn't feel as emotionally satisfying or emotionally resolving as the end of La La Land or the end of Whiplash.
Right. And I feel like that's because the subject of it is, he was a very private person. And Ryan Gosling plays him that way. And, you know, that's staying true to the real life Neil Armstrong. He just, you know, he just did his job, you know, when he had to take an interview, he did it, but it wasn't his forte. He didn't really like talking about himself. So I just feel like, I mean, it's not saying it's cold, but it's very, it's a little guarded of towards him, because he was such a guarded person.
Well, it's very difficult in that it's very hard to track subjectivity. Mm-hmm. When your character is cold and guarded.
Yeah. He's very cold. I mean, it's a little difficult to kind of follow the character at times, but it's, I mean, I don't think that was a deal breaker for me when watching it.
No, it wasn't a deal breaker for me, particularly because to me, I felt like, to me, it felt more, you know, authentic into that era, because, you know, in that era, you know, a lot of men were trying to be guarded, especially in high emotional, like, not necessarily like high when, you know, emotions are very running high within their household. And of course, you know, you're dealing with the death of your daughter, and it's hard, but as a man, especially in the 60s, mm-hmm. you felt the obligation to still be the moral, like, straight person that had to carry everybody.
And rock and center, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your family and, yeah.
I mean, when people talk about Neil Armstrong, it's not like he was this, you know, Bulgarian, you know, outgoing person.
Yeah.
Like, he was neighborly, but it wasn't, you know, but he wasn't, you know, somebody that would just always like be willing to open a conversation.
Right. He wasn't as much of a character like Buzz Aldrin or someone.
He wasn't as charismatic.
Yeah, he wasn't as charismatic. Which I was going to say, I'm very appreciative for the supporting cast in this film that surround him in his life. Claire Foy is just great. She's been pretty like amazing in every performance she's given this year, and they're all like different sort of characters and films, and I thought that was pretty cool. And such an underrated actor, and he's never really, he's always just like, he's great at supporting Kyle Chandler.
Mm-hmm. And, oh yeah, well, he's kind of playing the same role he was playing in Zero Dark Thirty as like the tough, like, we have to figure out the impossible. Mm-hmm. to solve, we have to figure out the impossible to do it the impossible, essentially.
Yeah, of course. But he's just, you know, he's just he really completes a ensemble cast. He always just complements it in whatever he's in, and yeah, this film he especially does that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Jason Clark is good. Corey Saul.
Yeah. Oh,
Corey Saul is great. Is that?
Patrick Feig.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Sorry.
He captures the man who once punched a moon landing denier in the face because he kept bugging him so well. Captures the spirit of the living spirit of Buzz. So that was pretty cool. Because of charisma to him.
Yeah. Yeah, and going back to Claire Foy, I think her performance is so underrated.
Yeah.
It's very
nuanced and very of the era of how women were expected to be by society, and she has such a great mastery of her craft to portray that person so well, just in her mannerisms and everything.
Mm-hmm. But in a way you get more of the package than you could with Ryan Gosling, because you're seeing her, you know, on the edge of breaking down, because you know, because yes, she knows the risk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she doesn't want to go through the emotional trauma again of losing another member of her family. And, but, you know, she still is a rock. She still, you know, like, Claire Foy plays the wife character in multiple layers. Like she's not just the, you know, take no shit wife. She's, you know, she's the emotional rock, but she's, you know, Claire Foy, I mean, she just plays that role so brilliantly. I think, like, it's so understated how brilliant of that performance is, and how wonderful, like, Damien was able to, you know, channel into that, into, you know, her arc, because she's also dealing with, you know, the trauma of it, but she's trying to be the rock.
Yes.
And by the end of it, you can see how it splinters them. The experiences of how they have been handling, you know, the death of this of their daughter has splintered them.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah.
And I say splintering not in a way that it causes, you know, a rift or a divorce, but there's a, you know, a visual demonstration of that splintering.
Yeah.
An
emotional distance to them, I would add.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I just genuinely. And that's really the key things I really love about the movie, other than, like, cinematography wise. Like, I mean, I love just how like grainy and old fashioned this movie looks. Just old looking this movie looks.
Yeah, it's the craft of it is so well put together that it feels like a film from the 60s, like a drama or a drama of that era.
Well, and not only that, it feels like a drama that has been aged over time. Like, it feels like it's something that has sat in the film cans and something that, you know, because I mean, you know, you and I have seen both demonstrations of what recent 35 or not 35, what recent 16 millimeter movies can do. And you can still get a pretty clear image with a 16 millimeter, you know, with a 16 millimeter film, but the way they go about it, it gives it an authenticity look, and also gives it, you know, a much more, you know, subjective and documentarian look at the experience of it all.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's it's very documentarian. It's very fly on the wall. In the way it presents its subjects. And That was a very interesting way to tell the story, because, you know, you think it would be this sort of spectacle film, but it is, but it isn't. It is,
but it's much more personal and more intimate.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. And I don't know if you noticed a great deal, but I noticed a great deal when we were going from 16 millimeter to the lunar sequences in IMAX in the film grain quality. Did you notice that as well?
Can you elaborate a little bit more?
Did you notice the film grain? Did you notice how visually different the lunar sequences were from, you know, the rest of the movie?
Oh yeah, it was there was a bit of difference to them. I mean, you know, besides the fact that, you know, they were IMAX, but I was just also going to add just the way that sequence is. They have some of the original voices from the recordings from Mission Control. I want to say Mission Control. I can't for sure say it, but it sounds like the original astronauts' voices when they're in a particular landing, in the landing sequence as well. It feels like they might have spliced that in. I can't confirm that from what I've read, but it sounded like that. And yeah, they really make a spectacle of that sequence.
They did, and it looks fantastic. And Gene, I don't know if you saw this on IMAX at all, but
I did not, unfortunately, at my screening. I'm gonna see it in IMAX this week, just to have that in my mind.
Okay, because I did not see, because my screening in Atlanta also was not in IMAX; it was standard. But even then, I could tell the quality, and it's not like a bad like transition. No, it's a very good, seamless transition. And of course, the reason to do that in IMAX was to make this, you know, an even bigger monumental moment. And on top of that, you're in a different environment.
Oh yeah, of course, you're literally off world.
Right. Well, you're off what is familiar into a whole new world. So of course, it works to have the film grain to be a little bit more sharper, to be a little bit more high def.
Oh,
and much more in wider scope.
Yeah, and it has like it is obviously on the moon, but there's a very otherworldly quality to it where it is kind of, I don't know, I felt it was like this rebirth of Armstrong and his character.
Well, it's a rebirth, but also a rite of, not a rite of passage, but I guess you're right. A rebirth would work. Rebirth would work with that. because he, you know, he's fresh and he's now, you know, being able to, you know,
overcome his grief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a way, yes. But yeah, and I just found the whole experience of First Man just emotional, mm-hmm. but more subtle than his other movies. Like, you really do have to pay attention to the direction in this movie to, in order to get like what's happening in every scene.
Oh, of course.
I mean, yes, arguably you need to do this for most movies,
mm-hmm.
but it helps if you are really like paying attention to what's like happening in the subtext and what's happening in the visual language.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. So, that's really, so do you have any more thoughts on First Man?
I think it should be seen in the biggest screen possible. It is such a well-crafted film from Damien Chazelle, and really importantly, it honors the legacy and the sacrifice of, you know, all the astronauts that put their lives there just for the sake of exploration and science for, you know, for like the whole world, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'll say is, to also add to that is, you know, First Man, it's an emotional, intense, but more subtle experience mm-hmm. than what you're expecting. And while, yes, I agree with Gene, see it on IMAX. If you can find a big IMAX theater near you, that's great. Do it.
That's real IMAX, not some...
LIMAX.
Yeah.
But I would also argue, you know, maybe if you can't find a decent IMAX theater or a decent big theater, see it in Dolby Cinema. See it in a cinema that has really good surround sound.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, you know, Whiplash and La La Land, the sound is so important in this movie, and it's so visceral that you want to be able to catch everything.
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah, it's, just the sound makes you, it feels as bombastic as a rocket launching would be.
Mm-hmm. And the sound adds to that subjectivity of being in there.
Yes.
So with that, are you good with First Man?
Oh yeah, it's in my top five of this year. I'm very, very satisfied in it.
I don't know if I would put it in my top 10 yet, but. Mm. But I will see this a couple more times and let it soak in a little bit more. But the more I've talked about it and the more I've, you know, seen other people talk about it and the more I've stewed on it, I just feel like, you know, again, Damien Chazelle is batting 3 for 3 in a row.
No, of course.
So, and I do recommend it. Please go see it this Friday. So with that, Gene, where can the good people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Gene9892, and you could follow the Waffle Press on YouTube and iTunes. Subscribe there.
Awesome. I will have links for the description below. Cool. So with that said, so now that we're at the end of the show, what we're going to do for the retrospectives going forward is we got one this week for Near Dark. Not necessarily anniversary thing, but, you know, I've been meaning to talk about it for a while since I saw it last year. So so now that's coming out this week. So there will be an episode on that either Friday or Saturday. And then And then the following week, we're going to either do The Three Mothers of Death from Dario Argento, in anticipation for the release of Luca Guadagnino's remake of Suspiria. And then we're going to end it. We're either going to do the Three Mothers of Trilogy or whatever comes first, whatever like I have like I've seen the most of, like I'm ready to talk about. We're going to do George A. Romero's Night of the Living Dead series. I don't know if we will talk about every single one of the movies, but we will definitely talk about the crucial ones like Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, and most certainly what's the fourth one?
Diary?
No, that's the fifth Diary one. I'm blanking.
That's okay. Their names are all similar, so I mean, I wouldn't blame you.
Land of the Dead.
Land of the Dead, yeah.
And we will try and get at least through the first four. If we have time or if we can do a second episode, we'll talk about the last two remaining Dead movies from George A. Romero. This is all in honor of not only the 50th anniversary, but also to celebrate a really good, prolific filmmaker.
Yeah, his life and legacy.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be our Halloween series. And then, of course, we will eventually get to Venom, A Star is Born. We will definitely talk about Bad Times at what will probably happen is, Gene, I know you have seen Bad Times at El Royale, but what will probably happen is I'll either do a write-up review or a react podcast and be done with that. So look for that there. Also, look for my review of The House with the Clock in Its Walls in the description below. And on top of that, we will definitely be back in full swing in 2 weeks for Halloween. David Gordon Green's Halloween movie. So, yep. So thanks, everyone. We'll be back with you very soon. With some Venom and some maybe A Star is Born talk. Thanks, everyone.
Here we go.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Do you question whether the program's worth the cost in money and in lives?
You're down here and you look up and you don't think about it too much, but space exploration changes your perception. And it allows us to see things that we should have seen a long time ago.
We have serious problems.
We've got this under control.
You're a bunch of boys. You don't have anything under control.